Please take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11 for just a few moments today. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to begin today what I'm going to entitle A Study of Faith. We're looking at really one of the more well-known passages of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes called the Hall of Faith. And next week we will get into some of the different folks that are mentioned here. But today I want us to think about a study in faith, kind of defining what faith is. That is a concept and a word that we use often, but what exactly are we speaking of when we use the word faith? And the writer, the author here, defines it very well. So let's look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. The scripture says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds which were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." May we pray. Father, speak to our hearts through your word. It's an inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative word. We need it today. Teach us from it. Change us by it. May we obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. A study in faith. One of my favorite pastors that I used to listen to quite a bit, he has gone on to be with the Lord now, was named Dr. Adrian Rogers. He was the pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church down in Memphis for many years. And there's just something about his preaching that always connected with me, and I enjoyed listening to him, and I enjoyed listening to several different pastors and preachers teach. And one of the things he used to say about faith was this. He always described faith and used the word as an acronym. In other words, he let the letters stand for particular things. And one of the things he always said about faith was this. Faith is forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. And of course, the him being God, the him being Jesus. Faith is forsaking everything and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look and think about a study in faith today. I have a few things I want to share with you. Before I go to the first slide, I want to just allow me, if you will, to explain this, because I don't want to be confusing here. So there's going to be a word here that may not make sense in the very beginning, but I will try my best to explain what I mean. Okay, having said that, let's look at a few things now about faith. Number one, faith equals, and I had to put this in this particular context so it would all fit. It equals believing even when we can't always see it, experience it, or sense it. Faith is believing even when we can't always see it, experience it, or sense it. The writer tells us here that it is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things which are not yet seen. Faith means I believe even though I don't always see it. Think about it. We're meeting today on the basis of faith. We have a church here at Volunteer Baptist on the basis of faith. We have this building on the basis of faith. We send out missionaries. We give money to the Gideons, so they send out the scriptures. Why? On the basis of faith. We do this because of our faith. We do this for a Savior that we have not seen. We do this for the God of heaven and earth, which we have not seen, which we have not been able to see face to face as I see you. Yet we still believe. You remember when Jesus rose from the dead and Thomas wasn't there the first time that Jesus showed up. And Thomas said, "I will not believe until I see it." Well, the next time that Jesus showed up, Thomas was there and he saw it. And he told Thomas to place his hands in the scars and to see and examine it. And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said this. He said, "Thomas, you believe because you see, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. That's faith. We believe it even though we can't see it, and even though we don't always experience it physically. Now that's the word I don't want us to get tripped up on. I understand that we can have experiences with God. I have and you have as well. But when I say the word experience, I'm using it in the physical sense. I have never experienced Jesus as I experience you face to face, as I experience you and I talking face to face, and neither have you. So when we think about experience, we have not experienced Him physically, but we have experienced Him by the Spirit. We have experienced Him as the Spirit of God speaks to us, but we haven't experienced Him physically. And there are times when that experience is powerful and wonderful. But let's be honest, even as Christians, there's a time that comes to all of us where it seems as if God is not near. It seems as if God is not, His presence is not very real in our lives. And so faith keeps us going through those times. Faith keeps us going even when we can't always see it, even when we can't always experience it, and even when we can't always sense it with our five senses. Faith says, I'm going to believe even though I can't answer all the questions. Faith says, I'm going to keep trusting even though I don't know how this is all going to turn out. Now, when we think of biblical faith, though, I want to say this. Biblical faith is not blind faith. Biblical faith not only engages the heart, it engages the mind, it engages the will, it engages the intellect. Our faith is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are good reasons for the faith that we have as Christians. Let's understand that. We're not simply taking a leap in the dark. There are good reasons to believe in the Bible, in the Scriptures. There are good reasons to believe in God. Paul tells us in the book of Romans that God reveals Himself through creation. You look out at all that has been created, the fine tuning, the detail of creation, it cries out for a creator. To think that all that just somehow happened, and then to think that all of this just somehow holds into place. No, my friends, God has revealed Himself in creation. And by the way, what you and I believe about creation is going to affect everything. It's going to affect the entirety of what we believe about the Bible and about Jesus. Our entire theological construct is affected by that. The Bible also says that God has revealed Himself in the conscience. We all have an innate conscience. We know that there are certain things that are right and wrong, even in our day and time. We still know that. We still know that murder is wrong for the most part. We still know that we need to be faithful in marriage for the most part. How do we know that? Because it has been written on our hearts, my friends, because we're created in the image of God. He has revealed Himself through the conscience and through creation, but also through the Christ, through the Lord Jesus. There are good reasons for believing and being a Christian. But Christianity and God does not answer every question. Amen. And He never promised, by the way, to answer every question we have. If you're waiting on God to answer every question you have before you follow Him, then you'll never follow Him. Amen. There will always be unanswered questions, but that's where faith comes in. We walk by faith, Paul says, and not by sight. The evidence of things hoped for. The evidence of things unseen. Let's go on. Faith is the means of salvation through Christ alone. Faith is the means of salvation through Christ alone. The Bible tells us, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Why were they able to obtain that good testimony? Because of their faith, because of their belief, because of their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things that these people were able to accomplish, they did so through the empowerment of the Spirit of God because they believed, because they trusted. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God. How are we saved today? We believe God. We believe the testimony of Scripture. Faith is the means of salvation. Now, Paul spells it out beautifully in Ephesians chapter 2, for he says, for by grace have you been saved by faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Faith is the means of salvation. Solo fide is one of the cries of the Reformation. It is by faith alone. We are not saved by works. We do not come into relationship with God by what we can do, but by what Jesus has done.
Amen.
Faith is the means of salvation. Oh, my friend, if you're lost today, if you are far from God, believe. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Faith is the means of salvation. All that we see here that happened in Hebrews chapter 11, everything that is mentioned, always flowed from a heart of faith. They weren't doing these things to earn God's favor. They were doing these things because God had saved them, because God had done a work in their life, because of what Christ had done. And by the way, that's where our works as Christians and as believers come in now. Faith is the means of salvation through Christ alone. And through that faith, we obey Him, we trust Him, and we follow Him. Number three, faith gives us courage to obey God. Faith gives us courage to obey God. He gives three examples of this courage here. In verse number 3, he speaks of our creation once again. He says that the worlds which were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now there's a lot in that verse. We could talk about that for a long time, but let me summarize. God spoke the world into existence. That's what's being claimed here. And you look at the Genesis account, and that's exactly what happened, isn't it? God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let this happen. And it happened. God spoke it into existence. And by the way, He brought it out of nothing. You notice that's what He's saying here? We believe by faith in creation that God brought everything that is out of nothing. The old Hebrew term ex nihilo, literally out of the nothing, God created the heavens and the earth. He just spoke it into existence. But how do we believe that and how can we trust in that? By faith. And by the way, that takes some courage to believe in our day and our time, but it is still so very important. As I said, what we believe about creation, you take away creation and the whole argument begins to fall apart. The whole construct of Christianity and what we believe begins to totally go away. So he mentions creation. And then in verse number 4, he speaks of Abel and Cain. And you know that story in Genesis chapter 4. Abel offered sacrifices that were accepted. Cain offered sacrifices that were not. We're not exactly sure why. Perhaps the fact of Abel's being a blood sacrifice and Cain's not, perhaps that has something to do with it. But for some reason, one was accepted and one was not. And the Bible says, you know the story well, that Cain became angry about it and God warned him. He used that famous phrase, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. And then the Bible says that in Cain's anger, he rose up and he killed his brother Abel. And by the way, let's be careful when we're dealing with the Scriptures. Sometimes we like to add our little inserts and our own mythology in it. The Bible doesn't actually say that Cain killed his brother with a rock. Let's be careful. That's one of the mythologies that grow up when we try to prove our political points and things like that. The Bible never says that. All it says is that he overpowered him and killed him. Let's be faithful to the plain, revealed Word of God. All right, time in. Now, faith gives us courage to obey. Abel offered to these sacrifices, he obeyed God. And did you notice verse number 4? He being dead still speaks. I love that. Even though he is dead, he still speaks. You want to be able to keep speaking into the lives of your family, of your children, of your grandchildren, of your church, of your neighbors, long after you're gone. You want to keep speaking into their lives? Then live by faith. Live by faith. And once you are gone from this place, you'll still be speaking. There are still people that are speaking into our lives. Some of them have been in glory for a long time now, but you know what? They're still speaking into my life. I can almost still hear their voices as they speak the faith delivered once for all to the saints. And then the Scripture here mentions a man by the name of Enoch in verse number 5. Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God and he was not. There's not a lot of information about this man Enoch, but I do like the last part of that. You know what it said? It's a quote from the book of Genesis. It says that Enoch pleased God. He pleased God. I'll tell you what, if they can put that on my tombstone when I leave this place, that'll be a great testimony. Amen. They can put that on our testimony. And listen, that's going to be worth more than all the money in the world, than all the fame in the world, than all of the things that the world can offer. If we get to the end and people can say about us honestly now, if they can say honestly, he walked with God, he pleased God, then that will be worth it all. Faith gives us the courage to obey. Because we are walking not by sight, not by just what we can see, but by what we know. Number four, we please God by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. As I said earlier, if you're waiting for God to reveal every single thing that you want to know, and if you're waiting for Jesus to show up in the flesh or some kind of angel to show up, if you're waiting for God to show you everything and tell you everything and give you every answer that you want, you're going to be waiting for all of eternity, separated from Him, my friends. Amen. It just doesn't work that way. And I don't want to deceive you here. If you're lost today and you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you'll have a power in you that is unspeakable. You will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. The resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ will flow in you. You'll be on your way to heaven. Oh, there's some wonderful benefits and there's some wonderful things in believing in Christ. But I want you to know this as well. That doesn't always mean things will turn out as you hope. That doesn't always mean the test is going to come back in a good stead. That doesn't mean the relationship will always be saved. That doesn't mean that life will be perfect and the bank account will always be full. It doesn't mean that you'll always receive everything you want. And it doesn't mean that everything will always go your way. Listen, my friends, we're going to look at some people next week who just had marvelous victories. But there are others that are mentioned that suffered. Wow, think about that. They knew God not only in the victory, but they knew Christ in His sufferings. But we please God by faith, by walking in faith, by simple trust and obedience. Yes. We'll go to the last slide. I mentioned this last week, but I want to mention it again. When it comes to faith, there are three aspects for us as human beings. The first is knowledge, just simple knowledge. We've got to understand what it is we need to know. And if you're lost today, here's what you need to know. The Bible has declared about us that we are created in the image of God and that God will judge us one day and that we have failed Him. That's what the Scripture says. Yes. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. All. Not some, not half, not part. All. And it's not just a matter of us messing up every now and again and not being perfect. No, we have offended holy God. Amen. And we stand before Him guilty without the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the knowledge we need to have of ourselves. We're going to stand before Him. It's appointed unto human beings once to die, and after that the judgment. We've already looked at that. But you also need to have a knowledge of Jesus and the fact that He lived for your righteousness. That He fulfilled the old covenant, right? We've been talking about that. He fulfilled the old covenant perfectly, completely. And now offers us the new covenant, which is not based on works or keeping of the law, but is based on what? Faith. Amen. Believe. Trust. Not in what we can do, but in what Jesus did for us. Amen. Dying as our substitute. Giving His life for you and for me. We need to have that knowledge as well. That those who will trust in Him may have eternal life. Amen. If you're lost today, trust in the Lord Jesus. That is probably the simplest definition of faith that we have in the English language. It is just simply trust. I trust You, Jesus, for my salvation. I trust You to forgive me. Please forgive me. Come into my life. I trust You, Lord Jesus. I trust Him. And then as believers, Faith is about obedience. Faith gives us the courage to actually put this into practice. And not just on Sundays, but on Monday, in the workplace, in the school, in our homes, with our neighbors, out on the ball field, out on the range, in the shopping malls, wherever we find ourselves, faith gives us courage to obey. And we obey because we love. We obey because God has blessed us. We give because He has given to us. We serve because He served us by sending His only begotten Son. Dear lost person today, will you trust Him? Trust in Jesus. Just walk this aisle here in a few moments. We'll talk to you. We'll pray with you. But that's the most important decision you'll ever make. Trust in Him. And Christian, the fruit of our salvation is obedience. It's following Him day by day by day. How? By faith.
Amen.
Would you bow your heads, please?